Praise the Lord.
You know, when we have testimonies like that, it brings me back to a specific Sunday school lesson that I had. I thought they were old then. So understand that I'm now 33, so I think they're even older. But inside joke, we had to argue with them. Anyway, they taught me that if you ever feel doubt, if you ever feel a lack of confidence, if you ever feel scared, then you just say the name Jesus. And what I've done, I've remembered that ever since that day. I remember going back to the main church service and our youth group was just saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And when you believe it, every single one of us remember that specific lesson. And every single testimony we just heard today, we call on the name of Jesus. We don't call on the name of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. We call on the name of Jesus. You know why that's so important? The world wants to take that name away. That's why they stifle us from saying it in schools anymore. That's why they don't want us to pray before any event publicly. But when we invoke the name of Jesus, mountains move. The wind starts to stir. Trees begin to move. Your trials start to vanish. How many of us are thankful for the name of Jesus? That's not what I'm preaching on. That's free. It feels good here today. I'm thankful to be a part of this church, and I am thankful for the opportunity to bring you God's word. I do believe that I have a word from God. So if you're going to help preach with me, say amen. Turning to the text, Luke chapter 14, 15 through 24. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. He invited many people. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. If you allow me a short time, I know I am the only thing standing in between you and fried chicken. And I think there's some football on today. But if you will preach with me and hear the word that I believe God has given me, then we'll get through this. And I believe that someone's going to leave changed. That if I was going to title it, the table is ready, but the food is getting cold. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house with your people. Lord, you've given me a word, and I just want to be an instrument to deliver that word for you. Move me out of the way. Have your way, and let this word land on fertile ground. Let it change our hearts and our minds. In your name, amen. You may be seated. So imagine preparing a big family dinner. We have a big family present in this church. Hours of cooking, setting the table, everything hot and ready, but the guests don't show up. The food sits untouched and getting cold. Sounds like a terrible time to me. If you look at me, you can say for a fact he enjoys food. God has prepared the banquet of salvation, blessing, and fellowship, but many delay or ignore his invitation. We're starting out heavy, I know. God has prepared the banquet of salvation for us, but we make excuses why we can't go. When I was younger, I used to stay at my grandparents' house, the Stewarts. He actually preached at our old building. I would stay there for weeks at a time with my siblings, and We would stay there for extended amounts of time, and we would end up working with my grandma or grandpa doing whatever around, essentially, it was a farm. And each night we were there, my grandma would prepare dinner in the evening, and she would come to the door and yell, "Dinner's ready, come and get it." And then she'd yell again a second time, and then the third time, she'd say, "Get in because it's getting cold." And finally, at that point, grandpa would say, "All right, well, we better get inside and wash up. It's getting cold." I don't know about you, but I don't like cold dinner. The table is set. Verse 17 tells us that we don't have to wait. It says, "Come, for everything is now ready." It's already ready for us. Salvation is not half complete. Jesus told us on the cross, it is finished. It's not halfway done. We don't have to wait for the crock pot to finish. It's already done. John 19:30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." It's done. As soon as those words left his mouth, salvation was offered to every single individual, so long as they accept it. You see, an invitation is only good if you accept it. Sitting at the dinner table means that you accept what was prepared for you. And I can tell you that my mom would say, "If you don't like it, you don't eat." And I learned to appreciate very quickly what my mother made, because I don't want to go to bed hungry. You don't need to worry about the menu at the table that God has prepared for us, because it's already handled before you sat down. Psalms 23:5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That table represents provisions, fellowship, and victory. The table's complete. I'm trying to say that the table's complete. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is sit down and eat dinner. That's it. God has already prepared forgiveness for your sins. He's already prepared strength for your weaknesses. He's already prepared peace in the middle of your storm. The table's set. Everything you need is in Christ. And we see in the text today that many that were invited made excuses as to why they would not be present. We know how it feels. I have to get this out of the way. The Runnings invited us for dinner, but they canceled on us. This is not about you, I promise. I just had to get that out of the way. I promise, it's not. I can't look over there and think, "Plans change, it's okay, this is not about you." Sorry. I had to get a joke in there. It's a tough crowd. We know how it feels to have plans canceled on us, right? If we invite someone over and we cancel, plans change, we feel bad. Maybe they feel bad too, the invitees. That maybe they feel bad. How do you think Jesus feels? He did all this. Just like the text, the host prepared a great dinner, and it's supper time, and at the last minute, everyone cancels on him. He finally says, those that were invited won't sit at supper. They won't get to partake. The invited made reasonable excuses. From what we can read, business, possessions, relationships, someone got married, going on your honeymoon. You're not going to go eat dinner at someone's house. But if you read into it, those excuses reveal misplaced priorities. Life is tough. It's extremely busy, I know. God's word tells us that time seems to accelerate for his people in the end days. Matthew 24:23 says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." How many of us feel like the days are going shorter? It's the same 24 hours, but now it's expedited. It's sped up. It's accelerated. I don't think the time has changed. I think our priorities have changed a little bit. I think our schedules have changed a little bit. I personally believe the devil doesn't care if we go to church. And I'll say that until I die. He can handle that. He can handle us going to prayer meetings. He can handle us going to outreach. He can handle us going to church and sitting and listening to the preacher. That's fine. Because we're not accepting the invitation. We're just there. Oftentimes when we're on that platform, we can see, just like now, I'm in between you and Applebee's. We can see who's paying attention and who's not. No offense intended. We can just see it. Humanity has always been this way. It's always been an obstacle to overcome. Paying attention. Our minds are now programmed as commercials. Every 20 seconds, we go to a commercial. What are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? We don't actually pay attention and take time to sit down and enjoy our meal. There's fast food for a reason. They crank up the heat and the music to get you in and out. They don't want you to sit there and enjoy the meal. That's what we do with our spiritual lives sometimes. I've heard some people say, well, if the preacher was more entertaining, then I wouldn't let my mind wander or I wouldn't fall asleep. If the preacher didn't talk for so long, I wouldn't be bored. Maybe if he yelled a little bit louder, I'd pay attention. I'm sorry. But when did church become entertainment? When did it become a theater? This isn't Beef and Boards. Living for God isn't half in or half out. And no, that's not depending on your interpretation of the Bible. Air quotes. Revelations 3:15 through 16 says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. If you only take home one thing today, then you need to take this home with you. You need to choose a side now. And no, I'm not talking about the side of the aisle. No political side, no left or right. You need to choose heaven or hell. We can justify, rearrange, and rename whatever you want. I'm game. We can rename things to make it fit better. Okay. But it boils down to where you want to spend eternity. You can't change that. Once you make that decision, then everything else will fall into place. If you choose hell, your life will reflect it. If you choose heaven, your life will reflect it. And all anyone can do on the outside is to watch it and give you advice. They can invite you to the table, but if you don't take that invitation, I wasn't born in the 80s where they preached hellfire and brimstone, but I'm at risk of getting yelled at. I wonder why we ever stopped. Why did we stop telling people that they are going to heaven or hell? I'm all for entertainment, polished words. I'm all for public speaking. I took a couple public speaking classes. They didn't really help. I like telling jokes. I like entertaining. I like having fun. When we choose entertainment over anointing, we run a very dangerous line. When we choose excuses over that invitation, then we're teetering a dangerous line. Heaven or hell and hell are still very real, amen? Yet our relationship with God is full of excuses and justifications of why or not now. I just bought a field. I just bought some oxen. I just got married. These are the excuses that they gave to the host. Those are all good things. You should get married. You should buy some oxen, or now it'd be a tractor. You should buy these things. You should buy land. You should buy a house. But what's that old saying? It's not an old saying. It's the commandment. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. When did we get away from that? But preacher, I can feel God anywhere. Sure. I can feel God on my tractor mowing the yard. We can feel God using the ZTR mower to mow the grass outside. I can feel God at church. I can feel God at work. Yes, you can. You can have a prayer meeting anywhere you need to. You can have a coming to Jesus moment after almost getting into an accident on the road. It's happened, I think, to everyone here. But if we set a precedent that the Bible is the word of God, we believe this, and we can set a base understanding that we believe that word to be true, right? And if we have a base agreement that we should do what that word tells us to do, then Hebrews 10:25 should rock your world. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hear me. Hear me. I am the last person to tell you that sometimes life happens. I work and I miss church. I'm the last person to get up behind this pulpit and use it as a whipping post. I will never do that. Life happens. We don't serve a dictator. We don't follow an abusive pastor. But what that scripture is alluding to is that we do not, this is what forsaken means in the biblical context, to permanently abandon, desert, or turn away from the community of fellow Christians, not merely to miss a single meeting. If we make it happen as a habit, it's an issue. You see, those excuses one time was okay, maybe a couple times, it's okay. But if we consistently deny the invitation from Jesus, that's a problem. The cause for concern is when one time turns into two times, and then a month. And next thing you know, it's 12 months and you're gone. The snowball effect is real. I'll pray later. I'm busy right now. I'll get serious about God once I've built my career. That doesn't work. I'll get back in church once things slow down. It'll never slow down. Imagine your grandmother cooks a huge Sunday meal. And you tell her, sorry, Grandma, I can't make it. I bought a new lawnmower and I need to try it out. Your grandmother is going to whip you upside the head with that spatula. And it's not the plastic one. How silly does that sound? How silly do we sound when we say, you know what, I'm going to, yeah, Jesus died on the cross for me and he gave me life. He gave me this opportunity to go to heaven, but I'm just going to skip that. Skip it. I'm not going to accept that invitation. What excuses are keeping us from the table that God's prepared for us? We just read the scriptures. It says that God has prepared a table in the midst of your enemies. I don't know about you, but my mind automatically goes to biblical enemies like the Philistines. But we should apply that scripture to us today. What do you mean? What do you mean, Eric? What do you mean, enemies? This is why I didn't want to preach this message. Because I'm the last person to get up here, and I don't like stepping on toes. I don't like confrontations. But if you have aught with your brother and your sister that's sitting next to you or in the same building, and you choose not to go to the table because of them, shame on us. If we allow our personal opinions of other people to stop us from going to church or to certain events, shame on us. In the midst of our enemies, man, in the middle of Al-Qaeda? No. I don't think that's what he's talking about all the way. In the middle of the Philistines? No. In the midst of my enemies? In the midst of church? In the midst of my prayer group? In the midst of the congregation? No. No, that's not what he's talking about. Maybe it is. Maybe those enemies that we make up in our minds is what he's talking about. And if those people stop you from going to the table, that's on you. What do you mean? I've been in church a little bit. I've seen churches die based off of ought. That's not good. Every single time I step into any church that I'm at, I rebuke that spirit. We are an apostolic Pentecostal church, but we also are Christian because Christian is Christ-like. And if our feelings towards someone in our church family prevents us from being that, then we need some praying to do. We need to rectify that situation. You see, the food's getting cold, church. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We don't have time to wait. Oh, it got quiet. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I know what I'm supposed to say. the conviction you feel now can fade if you ignore it. Because as soon as I said that, I felt a ball drop. That spirit that you felt, that I felt, is stirring. And my spirit doesn't like it. And if I believe that we both all believe in the Holy Spirit, then you're filled with that same spirit, and your spirit shouldn't like it either. We don't have time to make any excuses. Because Jesus is coming. He's coming for a spotless bride. And if we have a blemish, we're not spotless. God's invitation is urgent. The food is hot right now. But if you keep delaying, the food's going to get cold. How many times are we going to hear this message? We've heard this message in different forms the past several weeks, the past year. How much longer are we going to delay? I had a great message talking about it was going to be good. And then, as prayer and fasting goes along, God kind of nudges you a different way. And I said, no, I don't want to do this. The word you hear today is meant to be obeyed today, not tomorrow. Cold food just isn't the same. My mom says cold pizza's good. Can't do it. Maybe it's okay, but cold mashed potatoes, throw that away. Warm it up. Cold biscuits and gravy, Pastor, your biscuits and gravy are good, but we got to warm it up. God doesn't want you to eat leftovers, by the way. Your meal is ready now. My wife asked me, you always preach on food. I said, well, I haven't preached on food here. So we're going to get through that. God wants you to enjoy the fullness of what he's prepared, fresh, hot, and now. We have to stop procrastinating with our walk with God. We don't wait until tomorrow to repent. We don't wait until next Sunday to pray. We don't wait until life slows down to serve him. And if you ever catch yourself sitting in the pew and thinking to yourself, this doesn't apply to me, I'm sorry. It does. I was told growing up that if I ever think that, then I need to be the first one to the altar. And I agree. If we ever think that we can't apply something that God tells us to our lives, then we need to go to the altar. We have to listen to every message that is taught and preached, because that could be the word that you're waiting for. That could be your invitation to the table. The Bible isn't a buffet. You can't take what you want and leave the rest. Because the table that God has prepared for you isn't fast food, and it isn't junk food. It's your victory. It's your peace. It's what your soul has been searching for. We are never going to experience what God has for us if we never sit at the table. Did you know that you can meet all the marks of being a member of a church, but never be a part? Did you know that? How do I know? I'm human too. You can go to church, sing songs, shake hands, and not be a part of the congregation. And I pray that if you feel that way, then you make that change. Talk to someone. Make a commitment. Go to the table. Go to the altar. Pray for someone. Because oftentimes, people won't know that's how you feel. What happened after the servant returned with empty invitations? No, none of them were accepted. The host told the servant to go find other people. The original invitation list declined. So now we move on to more. Those that are prepared, those that are willing, those that are ready, right? So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here and here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done on as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. If you don't accept the invitation, someone else will. And I don't know about you, but I don't want someone taking my spot in heaven. There's room for everyone, but if you don't accept it, someone will. The chairs that were reserved for the host's friends sat empty, So he invited people he didn't know. God has prepared a table for you. And there is a chair reserved for you. You can accept it or you can decline. That choice is yours. But here's the sobering truth. If you don't respond to God's invitation, someone else will. If you won't take your seat at the table, someone else will sit in it. If you don't worship God, God will raise up someone else. If you won't step into your calling, God will give it to someone who's hungry. The table's ready. The meal's hot. The invitation's personal. It is addressed to you and me. But the food's getting cold. Don't let excuses keep you away. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't let someone else eat your portion. Accept that invitation today. Revelations 19:9 says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." We're blessed because we're invited. But what happens when we let something keep us from sitting at that table? Church, if you've been making excuses, lay them down. If you've been delaying, come now. The altar's been open the entire service. You don't have to wait for me to open the altar. If you've been distracted, come back to the table. The table's ready. Don't let the food get cold. I'm almost done, if the musicians could make their way. Church, hear me. The table's ready. Eric, you've said that 27 times. I know. I want you to understand the food's hot. It's getting cold. The master is calling, but some of us are still sitting, standing in the doorway, just waiting, just watching someone else receive their blessing. They're watching how they live for God, and we're not taking that next step. Maybe later, maybe tomorrow. Maybe when life slows down. But tomorrow is not promised. Procrastination has sent more people to hell than outright rebellion. I would almost rather you have rebellion than procrastination. I would rather you rebel against the Holy Spirit because you can change your mind. But procrastination is almost a disease in our mind because we always think that there's one more day. Tomorrow is not promised. The danger isn't always that you'll say no to God. Sometimes it's that you'll keep saying not yet. And while you're waiting, the food's getting cold. God has prepared peace for you. Are we going to leave it on the table? God has joy prepared for you. You're going to let it go to waste? God has forgiveness, deliverance, and eternal life. Will you let it sit untouched? If we could stand. The Spirit of God is saying today, come. Come now. Come while the invitation's open. Come while the food is still hot. Don't trade eternity for excuses. Don't let someone else eat the meal God prepared with you, for you. So I ask you, going to accept the invitation? Doesn't need to be formal. These altars are open. God is ready. He's waiting for you. Even if you've been a saint for 150 years, God is still waiting for you because the table's ready. The food's getting cold. And I'm going to do something. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know if you picked up on it, but the Spirit of God has been moving. It's been speaking. The invitation's gone out. It may not have been screaming and shouting, but that invitation's out. The table's ready. The only question is, will you come? Maybe you've been making excuses. Maybe you've been waiting for a better time, but saying there's no better time than now. Maybe you've been distracted by the busyness of life, but today God is calling your name. The food is hot. The presence of God is here. Don't let it get cold. If you are here under the sound of my voice, and you know that you've been away from the table, I've been putting off what God's been asking me to do. I need to get right with Him. I need to come back to the table. I want you to lift your hand right now. No one else is looking. Don't wait. Don't delay. Lift it up. God sees it. If you've been waiting for that miracle to happen in your life, make your way to this altar. Yes, you can feel God back in your seat, but making that commitment and accepting that invitation is how you're going to feast on what God has prepared for you. I invite you to come. Don't wait. Don't delay. Don't let another day go on without you accepting God's invitation. All it is to take a step of faith. Come find your seat at the table. The food's getting cold. Don't worry about anyone else because they're worried about themselves. This is between you and God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, speak to us. Lord, we want to accept your invitation. Lord, we're tired of delaying. We don't want to